to a haunted lake. Oh my gosh, my leg is haunted. Oh yeah, it is kind of a weird title. Oh yeah. We kind of, ooh, and a little tag right there. I love it. I love when guests join in on the singing. But we'll get to that. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are the Gilmore Guys.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
In the United States, in Canada, in the greater UK. We actually have a lot of listeners in the UK.
Only in the contiguous United States.
Oh, yeah. We're not.
Alaska and Hawaii.
They we're don't not recognized. But, yeah, they're not playing any Gilmore games with us. This could be us, but we're playing Gilmore games. Welcome to the show. You know the bit of business I did want to give bit a shout business. Out to? Bit of business. Yep. I don't know who this is, but someone did make an account for season 7.
Yeah,
of Gilmore Girls. So if you're not familiar, season 7 is a big part of the mythology here because I've never seen it, even though I'm a huge fan of the show. Amy Sherman-Palladino and Dan did not write season 7.
Oh.
And so it's, ooh, who's that? There's a ghost in the air. A laughy ghost. And so we have talked about in prior episodes not covering season 7 because of that, because it doesn't really count. It's not really canon because it's not very good. But someone ended up making a little Twitter account embodying season 7, begging us to cover them. And those tweets have been amazing. So thank you to that person, that mystery person, whoever that is. We are going to cover season 7. We're going to do it, but not because of you. We're going to do it before.
Because Kevin is a masochist and he hates himself.
It's gonna be tough, man.
I can't wait.
I
just want to get to a point where I'm just like, this episode sucked. Let's talk about it.
Well, until then, we have some good episodes to do, and we have a good episode today, and we have a great guest today. So let's introduce her right now.
La 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 la. Special guest.
Ooh, a little voice crack there. That's okay. Well, you know her from her own podcast, Totally Lame, RIP, Totally Married, and Totally Beverages and Sometimes Hot Sauce, as done by her husband.
Yeah.
And Totally Mommy. That's the other one. That's the other one. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Elizabeth Lane.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for coming on.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much. So you are a mom, full disclosure.
For real. Yeah.
No bit.
I'm not a young teen mom the way Lorelai was.
No, but you're probably similar age.
I feel like I'm similar age to how maybe the age that she was in this episode.
Okay.
I think she was young. She was young when she had Rory, right?
Mm-hmm. She was 16.
Ooh.
She was only 16.
Yeah.
That's a song.
Sure.
It is.
I love your purist approach to this. Like, you do not want to watch season 7.
I don't, because it feels like I have watched little portions of it, like minutes of season 7, and even out of context, it just feels like fan fiction. It feels like someone trying to recapture the voice.
The heart of the show has exited the building.
Pretty much.
I feel like that's why it'll be fun to watch it. We're not watching it as like trying to analyze it as part of the show. We're watching it to be like, look, they've really messed up, and now we're going to talk about it for an hour.
Yeah, I guess it'll become a much different show.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be like, this episode sucks. And
we'll
then
be
just
really
bullshit
bitter for like 3 months.
I think so, because it'll take like 3 months to get through. Anyway.
Yep.
Elizabeth, what is your relationship with the show Gilmore Girls, if you have any at all?
I definitely watched it a couple times. I mean, I knew what I was in for watching this episode 302, The Haunted Leg. When I think of the show, I think of it as, well, it's interesting. And this is painful for me to say because I did enjoy this episode a lot. I can't say that I think it's good, but I did enjoy watching it. But I, you know, remember like the fast, quippy pace of everything. I remember that Alexis Bledel doesn't move her jaw. And but I liked it back in the day, the mm-hmm. few times I saw it. This time I enjoyed it, and I think I didn't think it was great.
Do you think it is your experience as a writer and doing professional work and jobs like that that has changed your perspective a little bit? Or do you think it's just the natural course of time?
That, and I gotta say, I think Alexis Bledel is adorable.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not a good actress.
Can I talk about one moment before we get into the episode the way we always do? Is there's that one moment where Kirk has asked Lorelai out.
Yeah.
And then she's talking about with Rory. And she's in the kitchen. And she has that moment where she goes... Do you remember that little laugh she does?
When she's like sort of egging her on about... Yeah.
It sounds like a cute little witch.
Yeah, it sure
or something,
does.
But it doesn't sound like a laugh a 17-year-old would ever have. In my opinion.
Yeah, maybe not. Well, I feel like that's part of their relationship. And like it's the kind of laugh that she would have with a friend that she was egging on, not necessarily her mom.
Sure.
Maybe. I don't know.
Did I just throw a bomb out there that has not been addressed on the show
about
before?
About her acting?
About her jaw?
Oh, yeah. No, I have never noticed
that. We have never specifically covered the jaw.
I'd like
not
to...
Her jaw.
You guys, what? Oh, I hope I haven't... I mean, listen, we all have our quirks, but when you watch this show, watch her. When she gets angry, it's just this. And when she's just talking like this, it's just this.
Elizabeth is kind of clenching her jaw right now for the listeners at home.
Like the bathroom scene where she's talking to the...
Francie.
Or is that the redhead? Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry. Of course.
I hated that scene, by the way.
Well, we'll get to it. Yeah, that's the one where she says...
No, I talk. Okay?
Yeah, she sure did. But Rory is like, well, what do you want me to do about... Like, you guys will watch and see. And I do have to say, Lauren Graham is an amazing actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a treasure. Well, let's get into the episode discussion right now.
I can't believe I've never noticed this jaw thing.
Like, I know.
It's throwing me for a loop.
Well, we're getting a lot of perspective changers. In the last show, we got a call-in that alerted us to Jess's crooked lower lip.
Yeah.
Or is it lower lip, upper lip? We'll find out.
Lower lip.
This is episode 302, Haunted Leg, and we'll start off with a little segment called Pop
Goes
the
Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the episode and edit them together in a little supercut and see what we can make of it. So this is episode 302, Haunted Leg, Pop Goes the Culture.
I was the two of you walking around the other day like some damn Annie Hardy movie.
And apparently a big Annie Oakley fan.
I was trying to watch The Legend of Bagger Vance again.
The Empress Bobo Bell forbids it.
I'll make her so ineffectual she'll make Jimmy Carter look like Martin Sheen.
Saying yes to this lunch with my mother is like saying, sounds fun, to a ride with Clemenza.
Her name's Shane.
As in come back?
Yep.
I mean, no one ever walked up to the guy and said, hey, pal. Easy with the dancers. Enough already.
But the next genius who comes up with a brilliant plan to put an Elizabeth Arden in the chemistry class can bite my ass.
Let's look into each other's eyes and say, I wish I were you at exactly the same time. Maybe we'll pull a Freaky Friday.
I'll join a local community theater and I'll drive you to soccer. It'll work for many years until the FBI comes to get me, and by that time you're on your own.
I mean, what are we, French skating judges?
Wise up, Goldilocks.
Dane should have given her an endorsement deal.
Helmut Newton is my godfather.
Love is in the air.
Go back to Margaret Thatcher and tell her to play ball.
You might be the wallflower, but you're obviously the Meyer Lansky behind this organization.
And lay on the ground until Mickey gets hungry and decides to crawl out.
Tell it to Noam Chomsky.
How is your Caesar salad dressing prepared?
I'll have to call Paul Newman and ask him.
Give us the Reader's Digest version.
We are family.
Yeah, well, look how great that worked out for Sister Sledge.
Every year, people wind up with those VH1 before they were stars pictures.
Is it about Vince Foster?
It's about Grandma.
Oops.
Oh my God. There's
a few.
How long does that take you to do?
Takes a few minutes.
Oh my mind is blown right now.
Oh wow.
Every episode.
Every single episode. We gotta do it.
We gotta do it.
We gotta. I mean, it's a great way. It's a great entry point into the show.
I think so. And it also, there are some times where, like, in watching the show, we'll, like, a reference will be dropped so casually that it'll be something we gloss over. But listening to it now, we have to be like, hold up. There was a Helmut Newton reference in there. There was a lot of references to Paul Newman and other things that are just, like, in, I feel like isolating the pop culture references from their context sort of makes us think, like, these are really weird references to drop.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The one that was the weirdest for me that I did not get upon first watch was, I'll join the local community theater and I'll drive you to soccer. It'll work for many years until the FBI comes to get me, and by that time you're on your own. Did you guys understand what that was?
No.
Okay, so apparently this is a reference to the life of a woman named Kathleen Solia, a former member of the Symbionese Liberation Army who went underground. She lived for 23 years as Sarah Jane Olson in St. Paul, Minnesota, where she was active in community affairs, including theater. Her youngest daughter played soccer. So shout out to...
Well, that is a deep cut.
Yeah.
DC. Pearson. And then otherwise, Helmut Newton, I did have to look up.
Helmut Newton's one of those names that I immediately recognized as a photographer, and then they mentioned the Whips and Chains thing, and I was like, oh, I guess that makes sense to me. But then I got into this hole of looking him up and then just being like, oh, okay, why that reference? And then I looked into how he died and stuff like that. So
you want a little Wikipedia spiral.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you guys watch the episodes together?
No, we should.
We've never watched an episode together.
Never?
Mm-hmm. We haven't. We should. I don't know why we don't.
We could. Well, do you think it would ruin it in some ways? Because we would experience our first impressions with each other.
That's
and be
true.
Like, oh, save it for on the mic. Or would it be too complicated? I don't know. Or maybe we should do like a live commentary.
We should do it
episode.
For season 7.
That, okay.
Because then when we don't care about what's happening.
Yeah, because who gives a shit? Yeah. So the Netflix synopsis for this episode is Emily's attempts to reunite Christopher with Lorelai and Rory result in an ugly confrontation between Rory and Christopher. Not, I mean, they do confront each other.
Here's the problem with that.
Yeah.
So I saw that synopsis before I watched the episode, unfortunately. And... Mm-hmm. I was sort of watching the time codes until that point happened. So the Rory Christopher thing doesn't happen until about 4 minutes before the episode's done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally about 30 seconds of that.
Yeah.
So it's such a small point that the fact that they need to mention it at all is so weird.
Yeah. Well, I think it's all building up to that, though, right?
I guess so. But I don't think about that as like, oh, that's when Rory and Christopher have the conflict. It's just they're all kind of yelling at each other in that moment.
Yeah.
So... Overall, I really enjoyed this episode, Netflix synopsis notwithstanding. I really enjoyed it, and I feel like it did advance the things that we found to be very stagnant.
I wish they
premiere.
Combined this episode and the premiere, because mm-hmm. I think that they just kind of – it was set up as if it were a two-parter, like, oh, here's all the things that are going to happen, and here's all the blocks crashing down in the second part.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that they had just not tried to do it in a way that's like – hey, welcome back from summer, kids. Here's what you've been missing, and here's the end to that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they should have just combined the two, just had one less episode. I don't know.
True. So you said you enjoyed it, Elizabeth.
I did.
Even though you maintain that it's not a very good show. Or this episode. Okay.
I mean, if I had to say, is this show a good show? Well, listen, it's a successful show, so yes, it's a good show, but... if I had to say it's well done,
mm-hmm.
It's just not my
cup of tea.
It's not my cup of tea. And I think sweet Rory has her thing. And I feel like, I don't know. I'm more into kind of more real stuff. I did enjoy it, though. I'm not going to lie. So I don't know what this means.
So what's the tension there where it's like, objectively, it's not good, but experientially, it's fun? Or is it like good? Or is it like...
No, it wasn't a so bad it's good.
Is it like comfort food where it's like you just put on your old like Facts of Life DVDs?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Okay.
Maybe that's it. But see, I watch Golden Girls for my comfort food, and mm-hmm. I think it is so good. This is like I enjoyed it, and it was kind of funny and fun, and Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what that means about. I think this says more about me as a person than about the show.
What do you think it says about you?
That I'm a little, I don't know, hypocritical or bipolar or whatever. But I'm not diagnosed bipolar, but I think we might be getting somewhere.
Not yet. Not until tonight.
But I did.
On this very podcast.
You hear those sirens?
I know.
Sirens?
Like everything's. Anyway, I really thought. I don't know. I thought like some of the stuff was just so dumb, but funny. And I do have a personal Lauren Graham story.
Oh, sure. Let's speak to that.
That I just don't want to not say during this podcast.
Okay.
It's not much of a story. I saw her, basically. I was going to Pilates and like private Pilates, and my babysitter canceled, and so I'd called the Pilates person, and I was like, I can bring this kid and see how it goes or not. And she's like, just bring her, we'll see. So I'm walking in with this screaming baby, and I got there like a few minutes early, and I walk in, and I'm like interrupting someone else's session. And they're like very zen, and I was just like so embarrassed. And then I realized it was Lauren Graham, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I was like, I don't bring my baby to Pilates sessions. And then I was like thinking, but you have a kid. I didn't say it, but I was thinking of Gilmore Girls. I was like, you get it. You know, you were a young mom. You probably experienced lots of stuff like this. But she was actually very lovely and gracious and just kind of.
Oh, good.
And made a joke and then went on her merry way.
I kind of wish you had said it just to see what she would have been like.
you get it. You're a single mom.
Ain't that right, Lorelai?
On multiple TV shows.
Well, and then, yeah, and then parenthood. I mean, I guess she has like a, people see her as this type.
Yeah.
It's kind of a niche. Well, she'll break out of that in the next one. The late night talk show pilot she's doing.
Oh, right.
Oh, right.
With Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
Unless she plays a mom.
It'd be funny if she was a single mom on that, too.
I'm a single mom, but I also run this late
night
show.
But she's like incredibly successful, but still a single mom.
I'd watch it.
I would, too. Well, let's talk about Kirk in this episode.
Heartbreaker.
It really was a heartbreaker because it's kind of like as soon as that question was brought up, I was like, oh, well, we all know how this is going to turn out. But at the same time, you're so goofy. I don't want you to get your heart broken. You're not supposed to be a serious character, you know?
He's not supposed to be, but there's a sweetness to him. You know what encapsulates it for me and what kind of encapsulates a lot of the spirit of the show, too, is that the scene he asks her out, he's being super awkward and stuff. He's not being creepy. He's just like a little
weirdo.
Gawky, yeah. And he has that line right before he leaves. He says,
by the way, I think you might be the prettiest girl I've ever seen. Outside of a really filthy magazine.
It was sweet for the first half, and then the second half was just like, ugh.
Oh, boy.
And that's kind of the show.
Yeah.
It's like there's a sincerity to it. And Sean Gunn like totally sells in. He's great. And it's like, outside of a filthy magazine.
I think if he hadn't said that second part, it would have ruined, like my heart would have been broken. Just like, that's such a, like a 6-year-old giving a Valentine to like a 12-year-old.
I choose you, man.
Exactly, yeah.
It's that moment, right?
That's cute.
And two, it's funny with that storyline because skipping ahead to the end, when she does eventually turn him down.
Which I thought was done very sweetly.
Yeah. So did I. Yeah, she did. She was very delicate because she was truthful without being harsh. And she did balance that super well.
Yeah.
But I did think there was going to be a moment where she was like, but don't worry, Kirk. Blah, 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 blah. Or like, you'll find
you still have your filthy magazines.
Yeah,
that's true. I do.
I feel like it was really sweet that she's. I honestly was like, I hope. I don't know. I mean, I'll never be single again, hopefully. But
fingers crossed.
God, it's getting dark.
Let's get into it.
No. But like for her to be like, I just got out of this relationship. And then she was like, I really like you as a friend and all of this stuff that I feel like you hear of people saying to like let someone down easy.
Right.
But it was said with, that was my favorite scene in the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
It was said with such sincerity and it was really sweet and I thought she did it in a good way.
I thought she did it in a great way too. I did think that there was going to be a little asterisk to it where she like kissed him on the cheek or gave some encouraging word or something because that's usually what you see, I guess, in TV shows. And then she's like, see ya. And then he just walks away. And that's
I think it's
of
true
it.
To their relationship that she didn't do that, though, because I feel like once she does that, it sets – it's almost like setting in stone that Kirk is this sad, pathetic – like, he that's exactly who he is, but it's a funny sort of thing. If she gives him a kiss on the cheek, then it's almost like
– it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's almost like even patronizing. Just be like, knife. Look, you're a child. Like, she pats him on the head and, like, sends him on his way.
Yeah.
But I think that the way they did it, it was like, look, Kirk, he can handle himself,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And he will.
Okay. He will.
His mom has a lot of problems.
That's true.
And he has a lot of problems, too.
He has low blood sugar.
Does Kirk ever find love?
I'm not going to spoil it, but...
Yes.
Okay.
I've learned to read Kevin in a way that if he says I'm not going to spoil it, it probably means something's going to turn out for the
best. Because Demi's watching this for the first time.
Oh, that's awesome.
Whereas I'm a long-time gilly. As they say.
As
they
say.
The they being us.
Yeah. I imagine, in my head, Kirk ends up with another townie that we already met, like Miss Patty.
Oh, yeah, let's predict it. Yeah, so you think he ends up with Miss Patty?
No, I don't think that's what happened, but that's what I hope happens. If I'm writing the show, it's Miss Patty or Babette. Maury dies.
Whoa, does he?
Look, I'm writing a very dark version of
the
show.
Evidently, the darkest timeline. Me, oh my.
Kirk just makes the rounds dating all of the townies until he settles on the one he loves most.
And then otherwise, I guess the big plot of this episode, well, there was a few things. There was the Chilton newspaper and all the political machinations of that.
I can't believe that Madeline and Louise are like so... I can't believe they're on the student government at all.
Yeah, what's in it for them?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I said the paper. It's the government.
Yeah.
Demi corrected me.
I did.
The student has become...
the corrector.
The corrector.
The corrector.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah. In my head, Madeline and Louise couldn't give... Like, they couldn't care less about the idea of being on student government. I don't know why they're there or why they're even, like, speaking up to be like, look, you should do this, you should do this, blah, blah, blah. And why... Why? What's happening with Francie? Like pulling some like coup in the girls' bathroom, trying to.
She's the Fonz. That's her office.
Yeah, that was intense.
It was intense.
And not to be a dick, but like the two girls that were there with her. I mean, they're supposed to be the she's like, we're holding down the senior class, and it's like, could you get a couple of girls who are a little more like. Appealing to be like the representatives of the senior class.
Well, I just thought they were very bored looking or boring.
Why? I don't know why she needed like enforcers to be like, you better stay and listen because if you don't, something might happen. Like,
I felt like it was that, like, it was the quintessential, like, power popular girls scene.
The Puffs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Puffs. She referenced them as the Puffs and then. You see the Puffs, and you're like, these, no offense, but these gals aren't Puff worthy. They're not worthy of the title Puff.
Not Sponge worthy, not Puff worthy.
No.
Raylan Roberts on Facebook asked, so I guess the Puff storyline ended last season, but Paris really wanted in, because this was established in season two. It was like a little click.
What's the shift now?
Yeah, and that's what Ray asked. She says, did she quit? Was she kicked out? And why is Francie acting as if she has any power with being the leader of the Puffs? The leader of the Puffs. I don't know, but they really... There you go. Or was that an involuntary...
That was me.
Oh, that was...
Sorry.
I was like, sound is traveling.
Elizabeth, wow. But yeah, they really did drop that storyline in a way that wasn't satisfying.
Yeah. And do you think it's the kind of thing where it's like the Puffs can only exist for a certain year? Like, it's like, oh, that was a 8th grade thing. Now that we're in 9th grade.
We're the Poofs.
Yes.
Like, it changes every year.
The Poofs.
But I don't know. That is weird to me. But it's also, does Paris not see any power in Francie anymore? Like, do you think that she's just like, oh, I don't care about you. I'm the president.
I wonder about that because they use that, you know, they use the actress before in season 2, Emily Burgle, as Francie. And I wonder if it was a thing... Because the power dynamic before was like, Paris wanted in. She wanted to be in that clique.
Yeah.
She so badly desired that. And now they're at odds and Paris doesn't
seem
to
care.
Give an S word. you know, whether, sorry.
For the families. No. I say it all the time.
Okay. Oh, no. It's
I said the D word.
We're an explicit Gilmore Girls podcast on iTunes. It says explicit next to every single episode.
One of these times we're going to forget to cuss, and it'll be the only one that won't have that
clean.
On.
Yeah. Now my grandma can listen.
Hooray, just the one episode. But yeah, do you think that, maybe I'm forgetting the Puffs episode, but did she like at the end of it come to the conclusion that she didn't need them? Because I know Rory did.
No, Rory did, but Paris was kind of like, it was implied that maybe she was going to become a part of it. I don't know. I don't know if it's a thing where it's like they just like Emily Burgle as Francie so much, they just wanted to bring her back in some other capacity. Because the power dynamic shifted so much between those two seasons.
Before in the season when they referenced the Puffs, and I'm assuming from this conversation that Rory and what's-her-face, the student president,
Paris
wanted to be in. Were those other two girls part of the Puffs?
No. You're really fixated on those girls.
Sorry, I'm trying to wrap my head around this.
It is. I wonder what their day on the set was like.
I wonder whose daughter they are.
You know, well, that's why we're here today, because those girls are somebody's daughter, and we need to talk about that. There are background actors all over the world that get objectified in Hollywood.
Yeah,
and that's
really
someone's
sad.
Daughter. You have a daughter.
She's gotta be somebody's.
And I have been a background artiste, and it was not in the best time of my life, looks-wise.
What did you background on?
I was on Saturday Night Live, and a little show you may have heard of, but...
Nope.
Is that like Mad TV?
kind of, but not as successful.
Okay.
And there's one thing I'm in pretty... I'm like in... And it's a clip that they show all the time. And I look like one of these Puff girls in the background.
So, in a way, you have a lot of compassion for these
girls. Yeah, maybe that's why I'm fixated on it. It's like I'm seeing something in them that I didn't like in myself.
No. What was your SNL clip?
It was like the Oprah, Maya Rudolph was being Oprah,
and Amy Poehler's
head flew off.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting behind Amy, and I was supposed to catch her head, and I botched it, probably because I looked too bad to be worthy of head catching. But you can see me. I look very soccer mommy.
Oh.
And I was like 25. It was devastating.
At Valentina V from Facebook asked us, every one of us has a Kirk. Am I right?
What?
Well, that's the question I wanted to pose. Do all of us have Kirks at one point or another?
Yeah.
I feel like I've been the Kirk.
For us, we've probably been the Kirk at some point. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if I have.
Did you mean to say in us? Every one of us has a little Kirk in us?
I think she said has had one, as in we've gone through something similar. So maybe Valentina's just
very
attractive, and she's just like, everyone goes through this. Everyone's pursued by
Kirk. I feel like every woman has had a Kirk, and
I've had a Kirk. I've had a couple of Kirks.
You've had an army of Kirks.
Right.
So many Kirks.
Too many Kirks.
I feel like a lot of guys have been Kirks, you and I probably included.
Right. So, Valentina...
You're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen, except when I'm masturbating to the internet.
That would be the 2014.
The weird thing about that is how they cut to Lauren Graham going, thanks, Kirk. Just like the most sincere, like, that's so nice of you.
Well, because she gets him. She understands him, and she loves Kirk as a friend, so she understands that he can be a little silly like that sometimes.
He can be a little disgusting.
Well, shall we? And speaking of, let's talk about the way Kirk's dressed and get into the fashion report.
Fashion. He looks like Forrest Gump.
He does. He looks like Forrest Gump, or truly in that last scene where he's wearing the orange, it's like a polo shirt, it's a button up. He looks like specifically my dad.
Pull up a picture of
who I love.
Not that the podcast listeners would be able to see it.
I'll tweet out pictures of my dad when this episode drops.
You should do it and don't include a context. Just be like, here's my dad.
Dad pics.
No.
So he's dressed like a dad. Emily's wearing that two-tone blue-pink smock again.
We never figured out
what she's wearing. Okay, so that thing that Emily, the grandma, wears to the graduation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What would you call that? We have no idea. We're trying to figure it out a couple episodes ago.
To the graduation.
Mm-hmm. Where it's kind of open and like like part of it's pink and the other part's blue.
Oh, yeah. Like a tunic?
See, that's what I thought. Tunic. And then I was like, no, that's Zelda. Tunic it is.
Tunic sounds so exotic.
It does.
I guess that's what it
is. Sounds medieval. I'll accept it.
A little bit. And then there's that scene, Lorelai was wearing a shirt that made her look like a dancer at a Mexican bullfight.
Yes.
You know what I'm
like
talking about?
Like a peasant-y.
Yeah, or like Esmeralda in Hunchback of Notre Dame.
I have no idea what dress this is.
It was like kind of yellowy.
Was it the one that was like goldish?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, I wrote that down as she looked like she was a koi pond.
Oh, wow.
It was like a bunch of gold leaves on black or something, yeah. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
It was weird.
And then Rory in one of those first scenes has an aggressively pink bathrobe.
Aggressively pink.
Neon, it seemed. Those are the only fashion notes I have.
Innocence.
Oh, that's what it represents. Mm-hmm. There's like an allegory mm-hmm. being told here. The pink is innocence. The blue and the pink is innocence.
Lost.
Mixed with lust?
Lust.
Oh, lost. Innocence and lust. Well, that's kind of... We do find that on the show at some point. Any other fashion notes?
I don't think so.
I guess that's
We haven't even talked about Jess yet. But no fashion notes.
All right. Let's spend the fashion report.
Fashion.
Oh, Elizabeth joined in. I don't know if you guys could hear it, but...
I couldn't hear it.
I was doing it silently. I didn't want to ruin anything.
Oh, no. It's never ruining it at all. We encourage everyone to join on the singing segments. Aggressively, so...
I'll mention this just as a stray comment, because I don't know when we get to it.
Do it. These are all straight. This is a show...
But
that
I mean, like,
just straight.
I feel like there's no way to get to this naturally.
Okay.
There's a point where she's eating cereal. They just throw a bunch of marshmallows in the cereal. They just throw like a bag of marshmallows in their Frosted Flakes or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Why? Why do they do that?
Why?
Why? Damn it. But it's just so, I don't know.
Maybe just to keep things interesting on set.
Maybe, but it's just like they do it
they
so casually.
They eat so much garbage anyway, though.
They do.
Well, that's probably what it is. I feel like there's this like, and this was even like a runner storyline, right? She's eating soup. Rory's giving, is it a runner through the whole series? Rory's giving her shit about how she doesn't eat well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Luke
comes
her
and
more,
says,
yeah.
You need to be healthier. Then at the end.
Try a vegetable.
At the end, she's like, let's do like pizza rolls, ice cream, you know, like tater tots, all this crap.
Let's eat like monsters again.
I have a food comment.
Do it.
The scene where she's at the restaurant
mm-hmm,
and they go into the kitchen. No, where she works.
Oh, at the inn.
At the inn.
Mm-hmm.
They go into the kitchen, and I don't know the character's name.
Suki.
Okay, Suki, yes. They walk into the kitchen. I'm sorry. This is a kitchen at the inn. The fruit and vegetables, like, the display is so over the top. It looks like it's like a buffet at a cruise ship, okay? It's not... how a real kitchen looks, right? It just looks so bountiful. There's no counter space. Everything is like filled with fruit swans and like, and Suki, like they're talking and she's walking in and she like grabs a couple strawberries and she like starts chopping the strawberries. And I just was like, I don't know. Did you guys not notice this kitchen scene? How ridiculous it was?
I feel like it always looks like that.
Maybe we've become desensitized to the ridiculousness.
Oh, because it's just not... I mean, I was like, what is happening? And then she like grabbed some strawberries to cut. And I was like, are you working on an important strawberry dish?
That's actually... Because they're talking about pasta, right? And she's like, I just wish that I didn't have to serve vegetarians. And then she grabs strawberries.
And by the way... No one's eating meat because there's no counter room for them to make meat.
That's true.
It's just vegetables and fruit.
It is funny, like, the way it kind of, there's derogatory jokes about vegetarians. And like, oh, I thought we would never have to do vegetarians again. And I feel like if the show was made now, I don't know if those jokes would, like, play as well.
Well, yeah, because the whole, like...
Fooding.
Oh, you're a vegetarian? Like, no one does that anymore.
We're done with that. It's kind of played out.
So you're healthy. Good for you.
Yeah.
It's just the kind of thing that I feel like if it were made now, they'd just be like, Suki, just take the meat out of whatever you're going to make. Just make it the same way.
Yes.
Like, they'd almost be annoyed that she's upset by this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
I do think it's admirable that she takes such pride in her work that she doesn't want to make pasta because it's boring, though.
She's an artist.
Yeah.
I get that.
She is an artist.
But I think there are some pasta makers who would feel like they're artists, too.
That's true.
I can't think of one. Emeril, is he a pasta maker?
I think Giada makes some pasta.
Giada De Laurentiis.
De Laurentiis.
Let's have her on the show.
Yeah.
It'd be funny to have like a chef on for the chef's perspective.
Oh. Of the one show. Scene where we go behind the kitchen.
Yeah. Well, we'll just like make a montage of all the kitchen scenes and then play them back. And so what'd you think?
We should have a hotel manager on and do a compilation of all the scenes in the inn. Just be like, yo, this is messed up, right?
Yo, this is messed up. Let's talk about Emily and Lorelai. In this, because that's probably the primary conflict of this particular episode. In the last episode, Lorelai does walk out on Emily and Richard as they're bitching and moaning about Christopher and Lorelai and not being together and da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
And Emily extends an olive branch to Lorelai. Oh, by the way, one of my favorite moments of the episode was at the graduation, but at Chilton, mm-hmm. when they're listening to all those long, boring-ass speeches. What was Paris's opening line to one of them? It was, in time, all great empires have fallen.
She said something about, like, I will burn it down myself or something.
Like, brick by brick.
Yeah, I will tear it down brick by brick. I was just like, whoa. I want to hear the full speech of this.
Yeah, every
that storyline was, like, laying it in pretty hard because her whole thing was, like, if I show up and there are pink cheerleader pom-poms out there, like, I will tear this place down brick by brick. It's like, they could have, like, done that in a much more, but maybe it's not her character. But, like, then her story, right, was with Rory and the Puffs, like, not wanting to focus on the hemline. She had more important matters.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, really intense. I mean, it really hit you over the head with what's going on with her.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But what was your favorite moment?
Oh, because Emily was invited to it as well. And there's a little bit of silent acting from Lauren Graham with the handbag situation. You weren't into it?
No. It was good. I just got so upset at how it ended because I was like, no, but she did. Like,
continue.
Yeah, it got me. But you continue. No.
Oh, just like that. That's hard to pull off.
Yeah.
It's just to make that compelling and not a complete cartoon.
I thought she
cartoon.
Did a good job, but I think that this, I'm happy you brought this up. This like clip exactly explains why I think it's entertaining, but it's not good. Like,
so it's like
that
junk
whole
food.
Thing. Yeah, the whole thing is like, okay. And it went on, like, it kept going. <It's> like, she had to sit there and, I mean, she's a good actress, but she had to sit there and be like, should I? No, I'm not going to. Well, I am. She's my mom. Like, watching the whole thing play mm-hmm. in her head. But
I thought it was interesting.
I mean, it was entertaining, but I thought it was just so, like,
drug out.
Dumb.
Well, sometimes one of the criticisms people have of the show is that a lot of the rhythms of it and a lot of the content are probably more appropriate for, like, a 22-minute sitcom rather than an hour-long drama. And mm-hmm. so things feel stretched out. Pacing's weird. Storylines begin and end in weird ways, and the way the stories are beat out, it seemed a little, like, misshapen for the hour-long format. Did you find that to be the case?
Yeah. And, like, the pacing of the dialogue is just like, oh, God. It's, you know, these, like, huge, long chunks of dialogue are crammed. And Rory has to say them all through her lockjaw.
For a little jaw.
And she's like,
like Kanye. And that one, what's
yeah,
that one
through
song?
The wire.
Yep.
Yes, through the wire. Again, the wire.
Again,
the
wire.
Wire references.
But, yeah, the dialogue, like the whole thing where the mom's like, and when you're sitting up there, and put your knees together. Back in high school, I had a thing, and then her knees were never together, and she had an endorsement for Hanes. Like, and it's just like, whoa, that was so
There's
much
a lot
information.
Of extra information. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not totally necessary for each exchange.
I feel, oh, boy.
Danny's a little under the weather.
He's actually just emotionally. He's so emotionally moved by this.
I feel that, no. I feel like if you had a conversation with them one day and then you try to talk to them later, they'd be like, oh, we've already told all these stories to each other because we talk of like three times the speed that anyone else does. Like, all our stories are done.
Right. Very true.
But what I was saying about that specific scene is that when Emily sits down, she's like, you know, you could have put your purse there. I just wanted to be like, she did. I wish you'd seen what was happening 10 seconds ago. Because I feel like that moment of, like, her not seeing what she was trying to do is like a feeling of like, it's like when you hold the door for someone and then you let go at the wrong moment and they're like, how rude. It's like, right, oh, no, I was. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It frustrated me, but it also kind of, that was the point.
Yeah, so my frustration of it was more, I think one of the, I don't know if it's a problem, but something the show does where really in conflicts with Emily and Lorelai, it definitely goes on the side of Lorelai with like, oh, she's persecuted or her parents are really unfair. And it was one of those things where it's like, see, look how unfair Emily is to like chastise her for a thing that she was going to do. When more often, or not more often than not, but oftentimes, Emily and Richard do have good points, and they do have a strong argument or a case to make.
I was actually going to say that this, like, in these two episodes particularly, I've sort of realized that I don't think I like Emily as much as you do.
What?
Well, this is major.
I know, this is major.
Demi.
I know.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/GilmoreGuys.
Here's the thing. I like Emily when she is fun, obviously. I like it. Oh my God, this is killing Kevin. I like Emily when she is like being compassionate. When she tells Christopher to leave, I was like, good, right. I love you. However, there's so many moments where I feel like I have to defend how much I like Emily to myself. Oh my gosh.
Oh, Kevin's about to have an aneurysm.
Kevin is going crazy right now. But there are just so many moments where I'm just like, Emily, that's awful. Why are you doing this to your daughter? Please, Emily, just chill out. You know, like, okay, here, look. So when we say Team Emily, we suggest that there is another team, right?
Right. Well, and we talked about it before with Sean. Right. It's a misnomer. It's right. Like there's not actually opposing teams.
I love that. Emily. I truly do. But there are so many moments where I don't feel that. And I feel like I'm just like, oh, I just go back to the times where I loved you so much.
I identify with that.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Yeah.
And especially in these two episodes, in 301 and 302. Like Madeline in Lorelai's affairs, there's no way in which she's in the right to call Christopher to get all up in it, and especially like it plays into this rhythm that the show has a lot, where Emily and Lorelai will kind of bond about something, and then Emily will ruin it somehow.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, that was a long ass ceremony, and then she ruins it at lunch.
Emily's probably like overcompensating because she feels as though she went awry with Lorelai at a very young age because she was impregnated at the tender age of 16. And so she probably perpetually feels like she needs to be involved in a way that maybe she felt like she wasn't.
Yeah.
This is an interesting observation because it is like she's still got these like parenting reins on her. Because it's like, well, I screwed up the first 16 years or whatever when you got pregnant, but I'm not going to again. So in a way, it's as much about Emily's pride as it is about appearances or whatever for Lorelai.
Right. I was sad to think that, because I could see in this show that the mother does care, right? It's not like she's a not caring mother.
Right.
And I could see, but when Lorelai was saying, like, we don't have lunch together, I'm like, you don't? You obviously live close by.
But they don't.
But you don't go get lunch with your mom? Or she doesn't get lunch with you? Bummer City.
It is Bummer City.
It is.
Bummer City, Connecticut. That's where they meet.
Yeah, right. That's the middle point.
Between Stars Hollow and Hartford.
But it's... I mean, like, I don't... Even though it is a bummer, I sort of... In the context of their relationship, I don't see it as the kind of thing where I'm like, oh, that's a shame. I wish they would do that more. It's the kind of thing where I'm like, no, that makes sense because they're always at each other's heads. And they rarely have moments where they're just like completely with each other, you know?
With Christopher was nice.
Yeah.
When she came in?
That was such a nice moment, but it was also the kind of thing that it's a special moment for the show. Like, it's not like, oh, of course Emily would do that. It was like when she did that, I was like, whoa, that's awesome. Good.
Yeah. Well, that was one. I really made a reputation for myself because one of the questions from Facebook was from Catherine Wessel.
Shout out, Catherine.
Be our shout out girl. Every time we have
it.
Someone, give them a little shout out. Or Stars Holla, if you will. We do not say that enough. Stars Holla.
I never wanted to say it.
Hey, you never wanted to call this the Holocast.
Oh, I thought you forgot.
A Stars Holocast. So her question is, did you cry, Kevin, when Emily came in to tell Christopher to leave? I am hashtag Team Chris, so the Lorelai Chris scene was heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking for me, too.
It was.
Because it was like Chris comes in, he's like, I was like, immediately he's an asshole.
Yeah, like from 0 to 60.
Exactly.
And what's weird about it, too, is like they make him so reasonable and they really establish the chemistry in these prior episodes. I guess in season 2, because we haven't seen him in season 3 up to this point. But he really comes in almost as a different guy. Like, his countenance is like, it's a whole different energy.
They do this with all of the men in the show. They will build them up and make you want to like them. Then as soon as they need them to be a villain, or they need them to exist only as a reason for, like with Dean, you know, it's, mm-hmm. they build him up as a great guy until they need him to like play off as this foil to Jess being the better one. And they build Christopher up as what a good guy until they need him to be the source of conflict in the relationship between Lorelai and Emily.
And do you think that speaks to like, do you think the show, which has so many well-written and well-rounded female characters, do you think it has a man problem? Which is weird to talk about, but...
Cause I don't think men are treated fairly in Hollywood.
Let's talk about men's rights right now. Let's do it. Where's our 50 Shades of Grey?
This is the part where all of the women shut off our podcast. No, I don't think... Funny enough, I don't think it's a problem. I think that's one thing the show does pretty well, is that they will build these characters up and then just be like, tricked you, that's not what you should have been going for. In the kind of way that it's like, they almost pull the rug out from under you and make you realize, like, I feel like if we went back and looked at Christopher now, we'd be like, oh, this isn't outside of his character. It's just not what we were paying attention to.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I didn't watch the previous season, am I to understand that Christopher and Lorelai were like rekindling? And
you got it.
But they were also still dating other people.
Which he was in his relationship with Sherry was falling apart. It's not working out. It's going to end soon. I'm going to break up with her. They got together, hooked up, and then he found out Sherry was pregnant.
Oh, God.
And he was like, well, I can't do what I did with Rory for 16 years. I'm going to be around for Sherry.
Right.
And so that was the conflict.
Rory gets the shaft once again.
Yep. She truly does. You know where I felt it, too, is actually in that teaser where she, just to go back, the teaser where Grandpa's traveling again. That's the line they have to open it up. Like, that's why Edward Herman isn't here. And she's like, she had a Lorelai kind of energy saying, there was one line she said, like, I forget what it was even about, but she said, not that, that it's not without its problems. And she was like trying to make chatter and small talk and like reunite these mm-hmm. two women that are clearly pissed at each other.
Was this when the maid was happening or was this later in the...
This was before. This is the okay. teaser.
Yeah, this yeah. is the beginning. This
the
is
disaster like, maid.
Well, mom's business is going well, not that there aren't any problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell her about the mice in the, in your inn.
Your inn's dirty? Yeah, the Sarah. Sarah's a disaster for a maid.
Which is weird because I didn't think she was that bad, but I guess it. I in my head
to
it
the
was,
standards.
Yeah,
yeah.
Although it didn't, it made sense to me once she was like, once the whole thing became that she was meant to seem bad because Emily had a problem with keeping maids.
Right.
So
we need to start that maid count. But Christopher comes in, and then my little heart broke for Rory when she was yelling at him
through
her
too.
Clenched jaw.
Yeah, I wonder if that's why she has the lockjaw.
It's because of sadness.
Her dad wasn't around.
My dad was around. My jaw works fine.
Dad wasn't around to say, hey, unlock that jaw, Missy.
But I really did. That was the part that got me emotional more than Emily, like, you know, kicking ass at the end of it. Not kicking ass, but just telling him to leave, I guess.
I love it for Emily kicking ass is going, go leave. Away.
Well, she's not gonna Buffy it up and start kicking people in the head.
Now listen here, mister.
When did Christopher get a motorcycle again?
And no helmet.
No helmet. Oh, no.
He just rode off into the night.
He's regressing because previously he got a Volvo. And now...
Wow, he's really... This is worrisome because he's about to become a dad. You know, he's about to have a do-over.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like he's just taking his life for granted and throwing caution to the wind.
No helmet. No. I did like the little tack at the end where Lorelai was like, give it time. I did think that was well played.
That was good.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice.
Which part of this episode did you hate the most?
Probably that little bag fiasco. But it was entertaining still. This is like a tricky thing for me because I found it very entertaining. Mm-hmm. So
we didn't even talk about Jess.
Oh, and we need to. We gotta.
I thought
for a segment we call "Say Yes to the Jess."
Are we trying to say yes to him still?
Well, I couldn't think. You come up with this.
No, that's a better. That's good.
Is Jess the pre-Dean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Dean with his hair.
He's the hunky grocery store kid.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny because Dean's the one that works at the grocery store.
Oh.
But so many conflicts. Someone brought this up on Twitter We're going to give him a star sala pretty soon. Someone brought up on Twitter, at Runamuck.
Shout out, Runamuck.
Stars hala. Does it seem that Rory has a lot of her pivotal relationship moments in Dosey's Market?
She does. It's where she had her first kiss. It's where she lost her virginity.
Yeah. Whoa.
No.
Clean up on aisle four, man.
Oh, clean God. Up on aisle four.
She does. It seems like all of her, the big shifts in her relationships are because she goes to that market.
It's the conflict place. Eva, that's where Luke and Lorelai run into each other a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
Where are you both from?
We're both from Texas.
You are?
Yeah.
What part of Texas?
I'm Dallas. From the Houston area. He's from Dallas.
Okay. Doesn't this, like, make you want to go move to Sleepy Hollow and, like, go to the little market? It's just so cute.
Yeah.
It makes me want to visit. I don't know if I could live there because there's no podcast guest out there.
That's really what I think about when I'm moving somewhere.
When I'm, like, 50, maybe. I don't know. Do you want to live there? Do you want to live in the Stars Hollow?
Yeah, I do.
Well, it's in Burbank on the WB lot if you want to go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Go sleep on the WB lot.
Yeah, in the gazebo. In the Pretty Little Liars set.
Where is Alexis Bledel these days?
Where is she?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. She's from Houston.
Oh.
Just like me.
She's probably living in a cabin in the woods somewhere with her husband.
Who's her husband?
Vincent Kartheiser.
From Mad Men.
Pete Campbell.
Oh, yes. Okay. Is she in stuff?
She is in a show that got pre-canceled last season called Us and Them. It was her and Jason Ritter.
Oh, yes. Who I love.
Yeah, he's great.
I love him.
Also, Lauren Graham's love interest on Parenthood.
That's right.
A funny thing. But it was a great cast, but it didn't work out. She's not like... Well, there was a funny quote from Edward Herman in that interview where he said she's not like... She doesn't actively pursue stuff as much as she probably could. She just kind of does stuff here and there.
Right.
So she could probably be in more stuff if she wanted to be.
But does she want to be?
And...
say it.
I mean, does her jaw want to be?
Is it weird that I don't think she's that bad of an actress? I think we've talked about it before. Like,
yeah,
I think
we talked about
there's
a subreddit saying who's the worst actresses, and Alexis Bledel is on there.
That's so weird to me.
Other than, I mean...
Maybe we're super biased, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe we're just dudes. But other than the moment
yeah,
where...
She's obviously so adorable. I mean, but she's no bueno. It's an actress, I'm going to say it.
Oh, no. In her native tongue. Because she is Spanish-speaking.
Right, she's Latina, I know.
She actually is Spanish-speaking.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was on the cover of Latina magazine.
Was she actually?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got to find that.
She
why?
You know what? Maybe she could be a better actress. This sort of dialogue, like, it was almost painful watching Lauren Graham, because I know she's such an amazing actress. And I feel like there were places where she would have, if, like, the pacing of the show wasn't such that, like, you had to zoom through... We could have seen, like, more layers. And maybe Alexis Bledel has that in her, but I can't get past the jaw.
We're going to call this the jaw episode.
The jobs. Jaws.
Jaws.
I will be so curious to hear, like, after you watch the next episode.
If we notice the jaw?
Yeah.
All the next episode's going to be like, so the jaw thing.
Let's jaw about the jaw.
Let's jaw about the jaw.
Do any of the listeners feel me on this? I'm curious.
I'm sure
we'll
people
find
will be
out.
Like, yes, I've always noticed this, and I'm glad somebody mentioned it.
I genuinely want to know, because I'm surprised it hasn't come up from even other guests. Yeah. I'll give my Twitter handle at the end. I want people to tweet at me if they have noticed this.
You might get some tweets.
People will tweet at you. It might be more like yelling, I don't know, but they'll say something.
Hate tweets?
No, not hate. We scolded our listeners for doing that one.
Oh, no.
For the gillies out there.
Yeah.
Look, they got real aggro about our 205 guest.
Was that Kate Spencer?
No. It was Ben Rogers.
Oh.
Yeah. Improv dream boy Ben Rogers.
Improv dream boy.
All right. Who we love and I hope we have back.
Let's talk about Jess. He will never come back.
That's my wicked laugh at that idea.
Let's talk about Jess.
Say yes to the
Jess. The one scene that he has. He has two scenes. One is just him exchanging single word syllables.
Sup, want to make out? Cool, bye.
I'm out. that scene upset me because I was so ready to like Jess, and then we come back and it's like, no, I'm still the same old Jess. I don't care about anything. I'm leaving the diner. Bye.
Yeah, wasn't he working?
Yeah.
Yeah, he can just care. Leave mid-shift.
I don't think he's working for money. He's just working because he has to. Because
he lives there.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
With his uncle.
Also, like he wouldn't have been aware that Rory was right there.
Oh, he was. He's didn't he totally keep glancing aware. Over at her?
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's a move, man.
Yeah.
See, this is where it's like, there's a fairness and like, okay, you were gone for the summer. Rory didn't talk to you. You got a girlfriend. Okay, that's fine.
Right.
But then the flaunting of it and the...
Not cool, man.
Not chill, bro.
And
you're
his
not being
whole
a chill
thing
bro
is like, did you call me? Did you write me? And it's like, did you call her? Did you write
That's
her?
That's what we said in
That's
the last
the point
episode.
We made. Yeah. See, he's not pursuing her like a man should. See, me and Demi.
You got to go after your prey, man. You got to size him down in your scope and you got to.
Not to make it a predator-prey relationship.
No, I know.
But I think in general, even. I think feminine. Well, we'll probably get a lot of emails about this.
No, you're right, though. He's not. He's just kind of being like, well, she's not going to call me. Then I'm going to do something up.
Friend of the show, Anthony Trolley, just called Demi.
he knows we're recording and he wants to get his thoughts in.
He will in a couple episodes.
No, I think it's a weird move of him to be like, look, you didn't call me and I didn't want to call you, so there.
Boom.
I think that he is under the impression that because she kissed him, that it's her responsibility to follow up and be like, hey, hope you're doing okay. When really, if they're friends, he should also reach out to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if you're just friends, just work and maintain the friendship. Do you think he's cute?
Yeah, I think he's cute.
He is cute.
I mean,
I don't think anyone's going to say he's not cute.
Yeah, I actually found him to be particularly cute in that last scene. Even as much as I don't like him, I'll say it, man.
He's a cutie pie.
He's like one of the cutest guys I've seen not in my filthy magazine.
Or maybe in them. I don't know. What's he doing now? Oh, he's on Gotham now.
He's on a ton of shows, yeah.
He's on Gotham, and he's on this show, ABC show called The Whispers. There you go. Free publicity
Never even
for
heard
The Whispers.
Of that show.
It's not on yet.
Whispers.
The Whispers. That could be our next podcast. It's just Whispers.
Whisper Boys.
Whisper Boys. That's the spinoff, bro. Anna Queering, at Anna Queering on Twitter.
Shout out, Anna!
Is Jess the only TV bad boy to ever use a phrase like, to the contrary, in a proto-lover spat?
Yeah. Jess is the nerdiest bad boy. I've talked about this and I will continue to say this. He's a bad boy focus group. They just like got a bunch of people in like different women in a room just like, who would you think as a bad boy? And they like took one thing from every person and it's Jess.
I think he'd be a close-up magician. I think he'd make fake crime scenes.
Someone from New York. Some of my parents wouldn't let me see.
I think he's into record stores. With weird dudes in him.
He definitely loves Ayn Rand.
Truly. You know what? Emarsh000 on Twitter.
Shout out to Emarsh!
Did have the similar comment. Francie's two girl minions are so boring looking. Where did they even come from?
He is the nice word boring.
True. The end. That's our answer.
The end. Yes, they are very...
And then otherwise, other things in the... Yeah, it really did bug me. Jess's perspective in that supermarket scene.
Yeah. I hate that they make him look like he came out on top in that conversation, too. Like, did you call me? No. Well, then. And it's like, but you didn't...
Checkmate.
Right. It was a checkmate situation, but they didn't kind of go the other way. And maybe it'll come in another episode, but I just want the scene where Rory's like, look, you're right, I didn't, and that was wrong, but you didn't reach out to me either. Instead,
Demi, you need justice.
I do.
You were like, you needed Emily to know that she had just put the bag there. You need Jess to know that, like, you need it.
I need justice. And this show is so frustrating because it's very set and, like, not giving me the justice that I need. That's why I watch Law and Order.
This is like your superhero origin story right now.
Yeah.
Your burden to bear.
This is when I go back in time and invade the writer's room and go, no, let Emily know that the bag was there.
Did you think that in that scene where Luke was giving Lorelai shit about being asked out by Kirk, that he sounded almost exactly like Jess? That was my thought on it.
No.
Like, he, his cadence and the jokes he was making. Like, oh, I know you don't want to screw it up. Damn it, Taylor. But it really, it felt very Jess-esque. They felt very related. Jess-esque.
Is Jess related to Luke?
He's his nephew.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha. Woo, Miami. Okay, so to conclude the say yes to the Jess segment, do we say yes or do we say no to Jess in this episode?
No, I'm saying no.
All right, say no in this to episode. Jess. Say yes or no?
I'm just saying yes because it's cute.
There we go. Now our listeners will love you.
I mean, I'm saying no, but I'm saying yes to his cuteness.
I think we can. I think it's cute. Again, it's implicit.
Yeah.
We all say yes to the cuteness of Jess. the Meyer Lansky reference. You know what's funny? There's a Bunheads episode called I'll Be Your Meyer Lansky. So Miss Paladino's obsessed for some reason. Did you ever watch Bunheads?
Did not, but I heard it was good.
It was great. We're going to do Bunhead Bros after this
Bunhead
is done.
Bros.
Oh, nice. Wow, you guys have your work cut out for you.
We do.
We do.
A bunch of
shows and offshoots. And
we have at least 40 different spinoffs that we've talked about.
Yeah. And if anyone wants to make fan art of all our spinoffs,
don't
like Demi's requesting
I'm
right
not
now,
requesting that.
Divot, it, baby. Those Krispy Kreme donuts drove me insane in that scene. I just want someone to open them and eat them.
Oh, the student council.
The body, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice them until someone mentioned to Paris that they hadn't been, like, touched or anything.
And I'm like, bullshit. She's like, those donuts sat there and they didn't, no one touched them. And it's like, if she had been lecturing for an hour, that's all anyone would have been doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she, like, slapped their hands when they, like, tried to go for him.
Maybe that's it.
No, no donuts.
No donuts for you.
Not until we talk about the hemlines.
Now, Francie's manipulation of Rory to kind of get Rory on her side and have her pull strings with Paris, I'm still not clear. Maybe I just watched it poorly. I'm still not clear what the stakes are on that and why Rory would go along with it. Is it because Francie's going to spread rumors about Paris?
I didn't get it either.
Yeah.
What was the big threat to Rory?
She just said, I control this school. I run this town,
the
bitches.
Big threat seemed to be that she would, like, if she didn't want to make it seem like Rory was on Francie's side and was, like, because then she's driving a wedge between her and Paris, which there can't be because they're student body president and vice president. Or I thought that's what it was.
Okay, here's how to resolve the conflict. Rory says, oh, hey, Paris, Francie pulled me into the bathroom and threatened to destroy our relationship. Just
with,
so you know, we're
with
friends.
Two very homely girls who are...
with two puffs. Two puffs don't make a right. And she tried to drive the wedge, but I'm loyal to you and you're my friend.
That's exactly how... I feel like in sitcoms, always, there's something like that that can be resolved through, like, a line of dialogue. The character never knows that line of dialogue. And everyone watching is just like, just go tell Paris.
That's what drove me nuts about Parenthood, actually, in the first season.
Do they do that a lot?
I felt like there were a lot of episodes where the conflict is someone kind of lied about something that they didn't need to.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, just don't lie. Be truthful, even though it's kind of a bummer. And just don't lie. Like, I haven't caught up with it.
It's like in romantic comedies where someone's caught doing something. Like, wait, I can explain. It's like, no, you've done enough. And then they walk away. And it's like, wait, this can be solved in literally one line.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, that's not what happened. The light makes it look weird.
Mm-hmm. It's like how meeting in person is way better than, like, a 2-week-long email chain.
What?
You know how, like, people coordinate stuff over email chain?
Oh, yeah.
Never mind. Guys, communication is important.
Key.
It's very key.
Speaking of communicating, is it... No, wait. No. See, I'm reordering things. I was going to say, is it time for Where You Tweet? And then I was like, no, we got to do ratings first.
Yeah, we got to do ratings.
Yeah.
So let's look back on it. Any stray notes? Anything we didn't hit that we need to...
I thought this episode sucked.
No, you didn't.
I didn't. That's not true.
All right, so it's ratings. Should we have a name for the ratings segment?
We don't need a name for all the segments.
We do, though. How are people going to know that we're doing them?
This one's called Jess is in the Supermarket. This is where we talk about Jess in the Supermarket.
Say yes to the Jesses.
Say yes to the Jess is fine.
Yep.
That is great.
Thank you.
Don't validate him. Don't
enable this. From a podcasting pro, Elizabeth Lame has validated my dumb pun. Let's give our ratings. The way this works is we go around the horn, give it a different rating. We use something out of 10, something from the episode, something that struck you interesting, an interesting way. I'll start and we'll go clockwise. I enjoyed this episode, didn't love it. I loved certain scenes of it. I did like that scene with Christopher and Lorelai and Rory, because that's the first time they've actually all had a conflict at the same time, in the same room, and getting it out all there with each other. So I thought that was interesting to watch. I actually thought Alexis did a great job in that scene. Jaw notwithstanding. And then otherwise, I did like where it put Jess and Rory at the end of it. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 Krispy Kreme donuts. Yummy.
Nice. I think this is a pretty good episode. I like it as a sort of wrap-up to the stuff that happened in the first episode of the season. I think that on its own, though, there are a few moments that kind of didn't need to be there. I think that the entire subplot with Francie was very underwhelming, and I didn't care about it at all. I think that the moment with Christopher and Emily was a strong moment that kind of redeemed a lot of the stuff that happened with that plot in the previous episode, so I like that.
True.
I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 bowls of cereal with marshmallows in them.
Dirty!
Oh, God. Toy and the cereal.
I enjoyed watching this. My favorite scene was with Kirk and Lorelai. I enjoyed the fruit, the bountiful fruit display.
The cruise ship buffet.
The cruise ship buffet at the inn. I really liked the moment when she said, Christopher, get out of here.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give it, I mean, and then I also found, I was underwhelmed by some of the performances. So I will give it a 6 out of 10 locked jaws.
I mean, 6 out of 10. That's more than
five.
Yeah,
you guys are. Listen, it is pleasurable. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm getting broken up with right now.
It's just, yeah. It was fun sex. It's just not forever sex, you know.
Fair enough. All right, now we get to our segment.
Where you tweet, I will follow.
Do you think
we that name?
Should we have a segment where we talk about the food on the show and call it "Where You Feed, I Will Swallow"?
What? There's so few food moments on this show.
Sure, there are. I mean,
there were quite a few in this
mucho
one.
Mucho mac and cheese.
That's nice not chicken. A food moment. She just mentioned mac and cheese.
They're better than sex.
They talked about soup. They talked about the food that the maid was bringing. They talked about the Krispy Kreme donuts. They talked about the pasta at the end, and then they talked about the grocery shopping gross out that happens at the end. It's a lot of food.
Where you feed, I will swallow.
I feel like they're all so casually mentioned, though. Like, how would we have an entire segment just being like, so Twizzlers. They mentioned Twizzlers on this episode.
Cool.
What do you think about Twizzlers?
Pro.
Cool. Yeah, me too. Next segment.
That'd be a bomb.com segment. More work for us. All right. Well, you can find me. Well, actually, before I get to us, let's get to our guests.
Oh, thanks.
Elizabeth, what do you have to plug?
Just our podcasts, which I think is great because whoever's listening listens to podcasts. So this is a great place to plug it. Totallylame.com. You can find everything. And tweet at me about this jaw situation at totallylame. And listen, if I've upset anyone, I'm sorry.
You know, you need no apologies to our listenership.
They can handle it.
Yeah, so that's it. At Totally Lame.
At Totally
Lame. L-A-I-M-E.
Got it. Totally Mommy, Totally Married, great podcast, Totally
Thank
Beverages,
you.
And sometimes Hot Sauce. It's Psychic Andy's podcast.
Yes.
And of course, the Totally Lame Archives, which was one of the first podcasts I really started listening to on the regs and loved.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Boom.
That's really sweet. Thank you.
You can find me. Oh, sorry, I just ran over your
compliment. No, please.
Anyway. You can find me at Kevin T. Porter on all the places, Twitter and Instagram, and what?
Just the way that you said it.
Did I say it weird?
No.
Okay. Where can we find you?
You can find me at Electra Lemon. Hit it.
And I kept it.
That was not the right one.
Oh, I meant to play
Electra Lemon.
There we go.
You can find me at Electra Lemon on Twitter and Instagram.
Boom. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Sicky Sicardo over here. You can find the show on Twitter at Gilmore Guys Show. Email us for the email episodes, Gilmail Guys, or better known as
Emaily Gilmail.
Gilmore Guys Show. Elizabeth's really taking that one in.
Okay.
GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/GilmoreGuysShow. Instagram is GilmoreGuysShow @GilmoreGuysShow. And I think that's it. Oh, we love the voicemails too. Keep calling us 772-934-4559 or
772-WE-GILLY.
Are you kind of assessing our situation right now?
I think that's adorable.
We-GILLY, because we're all gillies, right?
Yay.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
For episode 3 of 2. Now, one question. I don't know if you've listened to the podcast yet, and it's okay if you haven't, but how well do you know the theme song?
The one you played when we started?
Nope,
I don't know it.
The theme song for the TV show.
Oh, I mean, I know it from hearing it.
All right. Good enough for us.
If you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold.
Frozen jaw.
All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Choo-choo where you leave. I will follow
you
anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. Oh, where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow.
Thank you, Elizabeth Lane.
I like that song.
Good night. Good night, LA.
I'm crazy.